Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Avijit. This paper of ours actually talks about color matching experiment, all the design considerations and stuff. Considering that it's a 5 o'clock presentation, I decided to focus more on describing the problem, demonstrating it, rather than going into all the gory details of the design considerations. So that's the title. Yesterday you heard a presentation from Professor Hill on observer metamerism effect on soft roofing or cross-media color matching. And here we talk about the display color matching. Little bit about myself. I'm not Jackie Chan, but I do have an interdisciplinary background in electrical engineering, lighting, and color science. By the way, this tagline says, fight now, ask questions later. And I'll try so that you don't have to fight too hard to understand me, and then you can ask questions. I'm currently a PhD student at Technical Research and Innovation in Rennes, France, and affiliated to Université de Nantes in France as well. And this is my research topic, really, my thesis topic. This is where we are located, and this is where we are in Renzhou, and this actually shows my travel for these 3 weeks. Okay, so people ask me why France, why did I choose France? I said, why not? You know, of course, we don't have sauna like here, but there are other things, right? Let's start with the very, very basics, very fundamental. What is color? You all know this from your kindergarten days, that color is a perception. And it depends on the response of the human visual system to light and the interaction of light with objects, also called color stimulus. So here we have a light, a desk lamp, fluorescent desk lamp. We have an object, a fruit basket, and an observer. So how do you measure color? For example, want to measure that green color in the apple. You measure the spectral power power distribution of the apple using a spectrophotometer or spectroradiometer. You have the spectral sensitivity of the photoreceptors of an average observer. We know this, and we compute the tri-stimulus values, right? And that basically is explained. This is the most fundamental equation, probably, how you compute the tri-stimulus values. You have the illuminant, the object, and the standard observer spectral data. You integrate over a wavelength range to compute the XYZ. So that's the very basic, and that is really the fundamental point about applied colorimetry. And once you know XYZ, you can compute small x, small y, or the chromaticities, right? But if you think about it, in colorimetry, you can change the illuminant. You can change the object. There is no problem with that. Colorimetry has a provision for doing that. It's a routine thing. But you cannot change the observer. So, for example, you can change that fluorescent desk lamp by an incandescent desk lamp. You can now measure, instead of that green apple, you can measure the red apple, right? So it's perfectly fine. But you are not supposed to change the observer. In fact, this is an average observer. And no matter who is watching, who is looking at the colors, it remains the same. So that's a fundamental restriction, if you say, if you will, of colorimetry. It didn't cause a problem so far, but as I would explain more, and you have seen it a little bit yesterday as well, it's a recent issue that has been raised, has been published in the recent papers. What it leads to is what is called observer metamerism. So, for example, as far as this work is concerned, I would say color is in your eyes, not in your brain, because I don't even venture into the brain. I don't go past the retina, right? So we have this blue-eyed observer. He is looking at these two patches, and they are acceptable, quite fine as a color match, so he's happy. But this green-eyed observer, who has a different color vision, is not. He's looking at the same patch, but he is actually seeing a difference. And that goes back to the way the integration happens. It's a physiological thing, right? Because these functions are not the same for individual observers. It's not the same as the average as we take. It varies. The result, the experience will vary from observer to observer. And that's basically the topic of today's presentation. The more different the spectral power distributions of these two, the more different they are spectrally, the more prominent would be this effect of observer metamerism. Now, I want to simulate that. I want to show you, demonstrate to you what is the effect. How do I do that? Because the problem is I have just one single light source here. And so it's difficult to show the effect. Unless I have two different light sources, I cannot do that. Instead, what I do is I compute the XYZ from a standard color, any color, and I can tell from display modeling what should be the RGB values that I need to send to these two displays. One is a reference studio CRT, another is a wide gamut LCD display. Very different spectral power distribution, and that's where the observer metamerism will come into play. So this, up to this step, is very standard, very normal thing as we do always. Now, what I'm trying to do here in these two branches is compute the observer-dependent color. I change the color matching functions, and I go through the same modeling principles to come up with these, forward and inverse modeling to come up with these two different sets of digital counts or RGB values. So that's what I'm doing in the next two slides. Here, what you are seeing is basically what the standard observer would see as two different color matches. In other words, this is a color match for one observer. I'd tell you in a bit what it is. And this is another for another observer. And I am showing as if the standard observer, an average observer, is looking at these two colors. Hopefully you can see that for this one, there is not a whole lot of difference. They are visually quite close. But this is visually different, right? For example, if you look at this, the left two sides, I just took a slice and I'm trying to show you the difference. You cannot really see much difference. They are the same, actually. But if you see here, I'm just taking the same colors and trying to compare. You can see a faint line here, but quite visible line over here, which means that these two colors are different. This is, in a way, amazing to understand, because we never know that we are seeing things differently. This shows that we are seeing things differently. And this is actually display color matches. So we are seeing on two different, very different displays. This is the same thing for a color patch. It would depend on the color. It would depend on the display. So it's not always the same kind of effect. Now, you can ask, we are seeing some difference, but does it really matter? We have to do something scientific to prove to you that, yes, it does matter. What we did is we designed a color matching experiment. It took us several months to come up with this setup. What I'm showing here is basically these two displays, so CRT and LCD. There is a mirror, front surface reflection mirror, and there is a mask like this. The observer is seeing exactly 10 degrees in his view field. And these are the two displays. There is a projector overhead for having a surround. We did several separate experiments, including and excluding surround. Okay. Here are his setups, as I was explaining. So this is where observer is sitting. He's looking at this the bipartite field. This is somewhat what it looks like, except that CRT frequency-related stuff. the observer actually conveniently changes the color on the CRT using this setup. The color was in the IPT color space, so you can change the lightness, chroma, and hue separately in three separate directions. And you can do that just with this one single user control. This is the hardware because we wanted to drive two displays simultaneously with two different interfaces. And this is the software we developed. I developed for controlling, recording all these things. Also, there is a spectral radiometer. After each match, I was recording the spectral data for both displays. So I was basically sitting here. The observer was sitting here. If I didn't hear any noise, because this thing, every time you do some adjustment, there is a sound. If I didn't hear for some time, then I made some noise just to make sure the observer is awake, because it's dark condition, right? And it's a long experiment. As if you have done color matching experiment, you know it's some work. And this gives you some kind of idea how it looks like, the mirror and the two displays, so that we have this kind of appearance. Okay, and then there was this very important part of the design. These were all hand-picked, and these are all ophthalmologically tested and certified. That means they don't change the color vision of observers. Although, after all three sessions, some observers complained that some gained weight, but I don't know. So that's that. I didn't want to discuss all the different things about the experimental design, but there is just this one thing I wanted to mention. You can pick up the test colors in different ways. For example, you can pick from your napping colors, which, by the way, I thought was very, very innovative, patentable idea, using napkins. But alternately, you could pick C-Lab colors. You could pick, you know, whatever you want to do. But here what we did is we picked the test stimuli using a physiologically meaningful color space, which is MacLeod-Boynton color space, chromaticity diagram. So what happens here is pretty interesting, because along the abscissa, there is equal and opposite change in L and M cone excitation. Along the ordinate, there is a change only in the S cone excitation. So by picking colors from here, I hoped to have some kind of understanding how the math changes there is a change in the cone excitation, right? So this is plotted in the Judd chromaticity diagram. As you can see, it goes from very green to very red, and also from greenish to very blue. So there were nine colors. There was another color over here, which is more or less like a skin tone. So those are the nine test stimuli that I selected. These are all described in the paper. You can have a look if you are interested. Just a little bit about the results. These are preliminary results. The experiment is still going on. The first pilot test used just the LCD, no CRT. So it was nice in a way, because it was exactly the same interface for the observers. But I could validate the test setup, because this is just one display. So there is no way you cannot attain a match except for the uncertainty within one observer. So as you can see here, the values are pretty low. This shows that the experimental setup could be used for doing a color matching experiment. I'm showing the intra and inter-observer differences, variability, along the three directions, three dimensions. So that's pilot test one. It was more like a validation of the experimental setup. And this is the second and third pilot test with and without the surround. We just focus on the test two, because both gave similar results. What I'm showing here is all delta E 2000 values. So basically, individual observers made matches, and then I am taking those spectral data and I'm computing the delta E. In other words, this is what the standard observer would see as the differences among individual color matches. So in an ideal world, everything would be zero, because we'd be able to predict that they are individual color matches, but they are not. So we see differences. For some observers, for example, observer 8, they are pretty low, most of the time less than 1, right? So colorimetry is working pretty well for that observer. But if you consider observer 2 or observer 10, like these blue and brown lines, these are actually showing individual 9 test stimuli that I used for the experiment. So for some colors, it's pretty significant, right? Even more than 3, that means it's quite a significant difference. And that's what the colorimetry is predicting as color difference between individual observer matches. And these are the values you can look at it. So the main message here is, at times, these differences, this error in the prediction, would be significant for some observers. Problem would be when you are doing a very color-critical application, you are in a color-critical application, for example, post-production, where a colorist and a director of photography are working together to finalize the colors in the raw shots. The differences between observers would then become a problem. It may not be a problem when you are watching TV at home. It may not be significant. But in that kind of professional applications, you need to take this into account. So if you fell asleep, you didn't hear anything at all, and you just take this sentence and you remember this, I would think that this presentation was successful. That in highly color-critical applications using modern displays, if we are using an average observer model in colorimetry, there are times when we would run into unacceptable color matches. That would be true for many color normal expert observers. They are color normal observers, remember. So this is where we are going. This is my last slide. This is what we visualize as tomorrow's colorimetry, which would give us provision for having multiple observers in the workflow. It would be like, we are calling it device-dependent color imaging. And it would be a local solution as we visualize this. So within a display, you can have observer-dependent transforms to come up with observer-dependent colors. And it will be transparent when you are dealing with consumer systems or for applications where it doesn't really matter. So it would be just like a transform inserted into the display color processing workflow. Same is true for other applications. So I think 10 years down the line, this would be the solution. The solution will not be imposing restrictions on display designers, saying that you should design your displays like that, because this is a problem of our colorimetry, and it's up to us to fix it. It's not their fault. So we need to fix this, and we have to find a solution, because tomorrow we'd have more and more of these applications with modern displays, LED, and all these wide gamut consumer and professional display devices. So that's the main message I wanted to send across. Thank you, and I wanted to acknowledge my observers, because they were really kind for doing the test for 3 hours or more, and very, very tedious. So thank you so much.
The group, Ronnie Liu and Boris Eucherman, his PhD, did some very similar experiments, and they came up with the result that there is no observer metamerism. It's more about more complex, it's like neural adaptation. So what did they wrong?
Are you talking about Boris Eucherman's work, PhD thesis work?
Yes.
That was cross-media color matching, something similar to what Professor Hill presented yesterday. I think one of the main differences between, well, this is very different. This is totally display oriented. So it's bound to be a more
compared CRT with LCD.
CRT with LCD. They had printed versus, and one of the main characteristics of their work, they wanted to simulate the normal real life situation. So it was not masked. They were just looking at the two things. And the adaptation is, the situation is different. For example, what Professor Hill presented yesterday is masked, and you don't have other things in your surround, so you have more control over your viewing condition. I think that makes a huge difference. And in any case, this is different because this is two displays, which was not done before, so I cannot compare with previous results.
So does it mean as soon as you have a separation between images to be compared, you don't bother about observer metamerism?
I think the main difference here is, well, there would be an effect. But I think the main difference here is that the spectral power distributions of the two devices are very different. You cannot have that kind of peaky spectral characteristics from conventional print or other media. And that's the main reason we are seeing these days. It didn't happen. It didn't cause so much trouble before with paint, textile, print, all these conventional applications. So LED and modern displays with LED, these are the target applications.
Okay, so there's no question. Let's thank again the speaker.